Now, it would only be appropriate that we have a sheep. This one is not lost. However, as I'm contemplating, you know, preparing for Christmas, and I like to shop through the year. So I managed to find some lamb chop squeaky toys. Hadn't been able to find them for a really long time, and so I purchased one, and I have put it away somewhere. And I'm hoping that sometime before Christmas I'm going to be able to find it. Because I'm sure Ilka will really enjoy having the sheep be found. So we have the parable today of the lost sheep and the lost coin. What might we hear today and ruminate about these parables that might be new and that would be joyful? Because it seems to me we could all use a little more joy in our lives. The world seems very heavy and dark at times. So first, let's just consider that these parables are about joy. We understandably focus on the issues of being lost or being found, of the Pharisees and the scribes' displeasure, of avoiding judgment and so forth. But what we often miss is that common denominator of both of these stories is joy. Just so there will be more joy in heaven. Just so there will be more joy in heaven. And here's the thing. I get that. Let me share an example of what I mean. While living in Windsor, my partner Steve and I took our two-year-old twin boys to the Devonshire Mall to buy shoes for them. We needed two of us, as buying shoes was akin to torture for all concerned, and the boys had a reputation for being runners. We each had one boy to manage. I wisely chose to keep Kevin strapped into his stroller. Steve chose to just hold on to Paul's hand. You see where this is going? At some point in the Sears store, Steve stopped to have a conversation with someone he met. Now, I was confident that Steve could handle one little boy, and so continued to take Kevin for his new shoes. But at some point, Steve let go of Paul's hand and was distracted. And Paul started to play hide and seek in among the racks of clothing. In a matter of minutes, Paul was gone. When I returned to get Paul for his shoe fitting, Steve was looking in and around all the racks of clothes, but to no avail. So we frantically looked all around that area, and we couldn't find him. And I began cautiously expanding my search, sure I would find him any moment, but I didn't. Initially, I was anxious. After a few moments, I was scared. Because we were living in Windsor, remember that? And I'd heard stories, now every parent has, about how it only takes a few moments for someone to abduct a child and get him or her completely out of a store, or in our case, it was across the border to Detroit or beyond. Now, after a few more minutes of frantically searching, I went to a security guard and admitted what had happened. Our son was lost. Lost. I gave a description. The guard called it in. There was an announcement over the PA system. It was at that moment I realized that I was walking around with a child that matched the description. And I was sure someone was going to turn me in to security. Now, within about 10 minutes, it seemed far, far longer, they had found him. Another shopper had heard the announcement and found him at the far end of the mall, and he had wandered over to another store, using his height, or rather his lack of height at 2 years old, to worm his way down the mall, and was glued to the spot in the toy section, having a great time testing the toys, pretty much oblivious that he had been lost and that he'd caused me a near heart failure. I suppose I could have been angry at him for wandering off, or I could have been upset with my partner for letting him wander off, or embarrassed that I'd had to recruit security guards when he was still in the mall all along. Even so, it was a big mall. I'd understand if that's what another parent felt in that situation. But to be honest, at the time, none of those emotions were mine. No, I was just relieved and even joyful that my son, who had been lost, was found. Safe and sound, back with me, it was pure joy. And that is how God feels anytime anyone is drawn back into relationship with God, or chooses life, or lives into his or her potential, or helps out another, and in all these ways is found. Joy, pure joy. The Pharisees and the scribes didn't get that. They didn't realize that God is primarily about love rather than rules, and therefore about joy rather than anger or fear or impatience and all the other things it's easy to imagine God is about. So what would it be like, I wonder, if we decided to invite ourselves and our community of faith to places about joy, all about joy, anytime one of God's children discovers the abundant life God hopes for all of us? I think that would be pretty cool. Okay, one more observation, briefly. As I mentioned earlier, when we focus on the lostness, or for lack of a better word, we miss the joyful character of these stories and of God. But we also might miss that in both stories, there's far less attention on what's been lost than on the one who is searching. I mean, these stories aren't really about a lost sheep, or a lost coin. Not really. They're about a shepherd who risks everything to go look, and about a woman who sweeps all night long to find her lost coin. These stories are about a God who will always go looking for God's lost children, and even more fervently than I went looking for our son Paul. Another aspect of these parables that we haven't touched on is the fact that the rejoicing done by the finders is unusual and unexpected. In reality, the shepherd wouldn't leave the 99, and neither of them would throw a party over their finding. What's unusual is the picture of God that emerges from Jesus' story. Not only that God's glad when one is found, but that God is exuberantly and unusually joyful. And more than that, when you think about how ordinary, where the person's representing God, a shepherd who stands at the very bottom of the socioeconomic ladder in first century Palestine, a woman with only 10 silver coins to her name, you realize that maybe these aren't just metaphors, but rather they are reminders that God often works through ordinary people to do the extraordinary work of helping to find someone. Now, a few days back, we celebrated the 24th anniversary of September 11th. And on that date, a man named Wells Crowther went to work, like every other day, to do his job as an equities trader in the World Trade Center. After the second tower was hit, the one that he was in Wells led everyone he could find down the steps to safety, and then went back for more people. And after leading more people to safety, he went back again and again and again until the tower collapsed. On that day, this talented, athletic, good-natured, but in so many ways, an ordinary person did an extraordinary thing, and ultimately giving his life to make sure others could live. On that day, God used Wells Crowther to find people who were lost. Now, I know we won't often find ourselves in those kinds of circumstances, yet God can also use us to find others. Not only can God use us, but God does and will. At work, at home, at school, through our communities of faith, in our places of volunteering, God regularly uses us to find others. So what if our communities of faith were places of joy, where we heard that God was regularly about using ordinary people like us to find others in order to create even more joy? And again, I think that would be really cool. Super cool, maybe. Maybe even awesome. Or maybe even better, if we could do that, I guarantee you that there would be joy in heaven, even more than we can imagine. So let us give thanks to God and live into this promise. Amen.